size of the whale. And I've been lost inside that gale so many times, many times, many times. And I've been turned into a butterfly, roughly the size of the entire sky. I grew so big, I had nowhere to fly. So many times, so many times, so many times, oh, so many times, many times, many times, yeah, so many times, so many times, so many times.
Yes, and welcome to Your Cozy with me, Clifford Myers, and today I actually have a special guest, and I'm not going to tell you who it is yet, but you are listening to Your Cozy, and as the episodes have been going on and on, I should really be changing the name of my show to You're Increasingly Becoming More Uncomfortable with Clifford Myers, more than You're Cozy, because as much as I want you to cozy up, I've been verbal diarrheaing all over your ears in your living rooms, and a little too ranty, not ranty enough, I don't know, no one gives me feedback. I make this podcast for 6 people, but I hope you're enjoying this podcast, 6 people, and you couldn't enjoy this podcast if it wasn't for our sponsor. Thank goodness for the Sod Father. The Sod Father, sodfatherlawncare.ca. I know what you're telling me, Clifford. Summer is over. What do we need the Sod Father for? Well, you know what? I haven't exactly figured out what he does in the winter. But I can assume that he's gonna, if he can mow your lawn and he can sod your gardens, why can't he fix your plumbing? Why can't he plow your streets? Why can't he help take care of your children if you want a night out? What doesn't the Sod Father do? This is the reason why people are saying this business in Waterloo is taking over the world. It's taking over everyone because it's like, oh, it's just in Waterloo, Ontario. We shouldn't even care about the Sod Father. Are you kidding me? The Sod Father's known in Indonesia. The Sod Father's known in Azerbaijan. He's known all over the world. Why? Because he's good at what he does. You need your lawn cared for? Well, summer 2016, he's going to do that. But for now, he's going to help you breed puppies. That's right. He's going to get you a stud puppy, and he's going to get you a nice little female, and he's going to help them raise them right so that the female puppy's milk is nice and whole and that the stud wasn't raised in brutal conditions. It's going to be really thoughtful, just like all my commercials for the Sod Father. So what's important is you go to the sodfatherlawncare.ca, check out his website, and see what he's up to this winter. Right? Who knows? Maybe he's the guy climbing down your chimney, giving your kids gifts. Maybe the Sod Father is Santa Claus. How do you know? You don't know. You won't know unless you go to sodfatherlawncare.ca and go to his Facebook page and give him a like. Say, you know what, Sod Father? I like what you're about. Your philosophy and just everything that you stand for in life. Sod Father, you are the king. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our sponsor. Thank you. Round of applause. Yay. Now, this is the first time in Your Cozy history that I have a special guest. I have a guest on the show. I had three options. My first option was I could go with a celebrity. One of the ones I just hang out with casually on Sundays. You know, people say, oh, you're Canadian. You don't know many people. Eugene Levy? Martin Short? Lights? Yeah, I know Canadian celebrities. The Arkells basically live down the street from me. I can always hear them on their jambes. Okay? So, no, I could have gone with a celebrity or a political figure of sorts. But Mr. Trudeau has a lot on his plate right now. So I decided not to go with that. And you know what? I could have done the comedian thing. I could have said, you know, I'm going to have a comedian on my podcast. And what happens when a comedian's on your podcast? You talk about comedy, and you talk about suffering, and you talk about the sad shit in your childhood that made you a comedian. That's not necessary. I'd rather talk to someone who is pure and honest and makes my life a living hell, and I love her to absolutely no end, and we exist, coexist together on a daily basis, and she wants to rip my face off, and I want to rip her face off, but together, it is a perfect, harmonious relationship. Ladies and gentlemen, let's say hello to my wife, Lindsay.
Hello, podcasters.
Lindsay, that's a good intro. Were you saving that? Hello, podcasters.
Yeah, I got that, yeah. I practiced.
That's good. How are you?
I am well.
Thank you very much for being on my podcast. I really wanted to do one tonight.
No problem. You owe me money.
That's fine. I needed a guest last minute, and you happened to be in my living room.
Or you owe me a new object for my clutter.
Okay. Let's get into it right away, then. Because I told you... No, I was talking last podcast that I was... I am burdened by the clutter in our apartment.
I am not burdened. It is comforting.
It is not comforting because it's leaking into my soul and it's making me a psychotic person.
It is organized chaos.
It is. No.
Yes.
It is still. It's just chaos. So just because you can say like, hey, you got a tsunami, a hurricane, a tornado, and you can organize them in a row doesn't stop them from being chaotic.
Well, I don't think it's that bad.
Lindsay, your comfort... Your comfort level is impeding on my comfort level.
I can't help that our apartment's too small for you.
See, I feel like that's a backhanded fat joke. It's a little. You want to live in this hobbit hole. Like me, I need like the friendly giant's castle.
You need a four-bedroom house.
I need the Addams family because, that you know, their mansion, Lurch was able to walk around in that thing.
Uh-huh.
And Lurch was incredible. Lurch could stretch out and... do his yoga lattes or I don't know. I haven't watched the Addams Family in years.
Will you be the children trying to kill each other, or will you be the husband and wife where one of us speaks French to the other?
Oh, oh, ma chérie. Am I as romantic as Gomez Addams? Is that what you're saying?
No, you're not.
I've kissed up and down your arm.
No. Yes, but it just bothers me, whereas her, she's like, oh, my husband.
Yeah, but no, Morticia kind of fluffs off Gomez a lot of the time. You gotta talk a little closer to me.
Yes, that is what I do.
There, yeah, Morticia fluffs off Gomez, where Gomez goes to Morticia and is like, I'm with in my last dying breath, everything. I love you, Morticia. Speak French to me. Mm-hmm. See, you and I, like, I feel like we almost represent all of the Addams Family. Because I'm Lurch. In a lot of ways, you're Cousin It. You got this hair, this long hair about you. And you just come walk around the apartment going, me, 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 me.
I do not do this, listeners.
Ignore him. Yeah. And sometimes we are Wednesday and Pugsley. Like, I'm the little chubby one. You're the little girl with the
I feel we'd be most, like, similar to the children.
Similar to the children? But the thing is it's always the girl trying to kill the guy.
I know.
That's creepy as shit. Because after watching Gone Girl, it's been very hard to stay married. After seeing...
Okay, that's just crazy, that movie. Let's talk about that.
That movie was insanity. Was I like that your way of doing a segue is, let's talk about that now.
Come on, guys. Let's all sit down for our drum circle.
I have a list of things. I asked Facebook last night, I'm going to do a podcast. What do you guys want me to talk about?
Okay.
And they gave me a list. Okay. So I'm going to like shoot off it. But I am going to say that this clutter thing, it has been something that has been plaguing you and I. We have been text fighting about it.
We're fighting, listeners, we're fighting about whose mom is going to come and help clean. That's basically what we realized our fight was over today, about whose mom we want to come to our house to help clean.
Because she doesn't want my mom, who is going to be very organized works as a professional cleaner to come and do the apartment.
Yes, but it's difficult for a wife to have her husband invite the mother-in-law over because he thinks that his wife is not keeping a clean enough house.
That is such an old school mentality. That's not what it is. It's getting my mom to help us.
That's your mom's mentality for the woman to keep house.
But you wanting your mom to help, your mom taught you how to be this junkyard hoarder.
Well, she never used to be. And she has a clean house. She just has lots of things.
Yeah, like, I'm a huge fan of the movie Labyrinth, and there's that scene with that goblin who carries everything on its back. It's home. It carries a junkyard on its back, and you and your mom are that goblin.
Yeah, it's now comforting for me, because I was embedded in that.
I get the comfort, and that's the thing. I'm not trying to take the comfort away from you. I'm trying to say you can have a new comfort with you and me actually working together as a team. Yes. And making this place a desirable version of what we want it to be. Okay. And here is the stretch. And here's the thing, Lindsay. Tell me if I'm off base, or tell me if you actually can see some validity to this. Is if you're just comfortable with what you got, mm-hmm. you're going to just sit and stew in it, right? But if you have a vision of what you want it to be, and this is the apartment, and you get it to your vision, you're going to feel very proud. And this is very applicable to who we are as people.
But it's like, you have a vision for this apartment, whereas I have a vision and it's like not living here. It's always like in a bigger place with like less clutter, you're correct.
That's so
but
funny.
But with nicer things.
No, see, I want a smaller place. I want a trailer with barely anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's so funny. But like, what I'm saying is like, this desire to want to change the apartment, I really think it comes from my desire of wanting to change myself. And I'm taking those control issues out on the apartment.
Yes, which is very correct.
But you, who likes complacency and likes safety and security in her own life, mm-hmm. you're doing the same thing. You're internalizing too, but trying to keep the apartment the same. You don't like change.
No.
It makes you emotional. You cry last night because I ripped apart one of our closets.
Well, boys and girls, let's
men and women. This is not, men and women.
Okay, I work with children.
Also. I don't have,
I call them all boys and girls.
I don't have 6-year-olds listening to my podcast.
Okay. Well, let's retell his cleaning. He doesn't just reorganized, he leaves everything on the bed and gets so upset about organizing it that he just left this huge gigantic mess around 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night.
Because I'm a maniac. Yeah. I rip it all out because I want it gone from my life.
Yeah, so that's upsetting.
Like, it tortures me and I hate it.
It's upsetting because I would prefer not to have to unbury myself in clothes when I'm trying to go to bed.
Anyone who's in the midst of wondering whether they should or should not get married might not want to listen to a couple talk about the pains of clutter.
Yeah.
Because it gets deep-rooted.
Yeah.
It's hilarious what's happened to us. Now, I want to get to, on Facebook, I did ask people what they wanted us to talk about. And we'll kind of go down the list kind of loosey-goosey. I don't think we'll have anything to say about most of the stuff. But I don't know. I can always figure out something to say about something. I'm the loudmouth in the relationship. Lindsay, you really are the sweetheart of the relationship. But you are a sweetheart with I would say like a firebolt tongue.
Yeah. I'm fiery. I'm a firecracker.
You're a firecracker. Like, people kind of misread you.
Yeah.
Because they look at you and they think, oh, the sweet wallflower.
Yeah.
But
until they get to know me.
But you're like, nah, I'm a wallflower that peels off the wall into a fiery butterfly and burns down your village.
Yeah, if you're like, messing things up, but I will burn your village down.
For sure. You're a samurai. You're a ronin. You're a masterless samurai.
I'm like that clip that's going around Facebook with the little girl who looks like adorable with her blonde hair and a bun, and then she like kicks ass with a sword.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like her.
That is you. You scare the shit out of me. Yeah. I love you so much.
I sound like a 5-year-old, but I can do damage.
I sound like a 5-year-old, but I can do damage. I don't, that can't be the episode title, but that should be the episode title. Should be
next
I can
book, next book. Next
I can do
book.
Damage. I can do damage. Can That's do what it's damage, gonna be. Okay. Lynn, stop doing the echo thing. That drives them nuts. They don't know if their iTunes is broken. Okay. December 1st. It's Christmas time in Hamilton. And someone wanted me. That was the theme. They said Christmas time in Hamilton. And sorry that I can't give shout outs to everyone who gave suggestions, because my Facebook's all weird at the moment. But I got kind of a general list of who suggested what sort of. For the first two, I don't know. So apologize. But it's Christmas time in Hamilton. We're seeing the lights up at the mall. I always felt when you live in a dirtbag city like Hamilton, Ontario, that, like, they should do something special for Christmas. Like, with the smokestacks, it should come out in red and green.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
What was the question, though?
There's no question.
Oh, they just want to talk about Christmas time?
They want us to talk about Christmas time.
Oh.
In Hamilton.
Oh. See, Christmas time, when you work as a Montessori teacher with children, is a nightmare, because all you do is get out the word Christmas, and then they start screaming. And then you're trying to control the circle, and you're just like, don't know what to do at that point.
And that's the thing. Hoggle's on the podcast, too.
Hoggle's like, I know, Lindsay. I know
the pain. Okay. Lindsay works as a Montessori school teacher. She's got all these little rugrats. Like, she had to work the Monday after Halloween. And that's just, I can't imagine those sugar-fueled, cocaine-addict kids.
That was a nightmare. They were definitely way off.
Do you ever? Oh man, once you no longer have this job, I want to ask you questions that you can answer honestly, because like I want to ask every teacher ever. Have you ever been tempted to kick a kid in the face? Don't answer now, because I still want you to keep your job. Mm-hmm. Don't answer. Mm-hmm. She's nodding, but don't answer. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Like, I spent my Christmases in Oshawa and Uxbridge, in between my parents. And Uxbridge is very snowy, very very Christmas setting. The town feels old, like you would have an old Studebaker driving through it or whatever. And Oshawa was kind of a, you know, I always felt like the snow melted too fast and became brown too quick. I've never really enjoyed my Christmases. Like in Cambridge, when I was in college, Christmas feels very... almost like Cambridge, England. Like, it does, because they have the old cobblestone. There is something Dickensian about it. Charles Dickens, that's what they say, Dickensian. I think I said that right. Mm. But there is something really cool about that, the clock towers and the snow.
Beautiful city, yeah.
But, like, and I don't know. I think there is something to say about spending Christmas in a place, a special place that feels like Christmas should be there. Mm-hmm. I don't think Christmas should be here in Hamilton.
I think people from Hamilton will be mad about that.
But the thing is how are people in Hamilton celebrating their Christmas? They're in their bachelor apartments above a storefront making homemade soap for their Etsy friends. Then they're going to go to the marketplace on Ottawa Street on Saturday and trying to sell some pins for a band that no one's heard of. Like, what's happening? Like, Hamilton's been, it's either taken over by hipsters or by parents with too many opinions.
Well, apparently today is Give Back Tuesday, so Christmas could be about giving and being kind and spreading cheer.
Someone did text me today, Colette Kendall from Staircase Theater, that she loved me.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to tell people that she loved them today.
That's nice. Kindness.
She said, I love you in a not creepy way. So I text back, I love you in an unbelievably creepy way.
Of course. I wouldn't expect anything less from you.
Right? And, like, I don't know, it's not kind of it's not all cheer for everyone. Right now, what's going on?
No, it's not, yeah.
Well, the city itself, there's constantly crisis. There's constantly things going on that I'm not too politically involved, but I know in Dundas right now, they're going through a petition to stop a condo that's being built that's 9 stories. And the limit in Dundas is 5 stories. Now, we're talking about what represents Christmas. If anyone's ever been to Dundas, Ontario, what a quaint, small, beautiful town.
Yes.
In a lot of ways, I feel like it would be wonderful to be walking the vacant street of Dundas on Christmas Day with the snow falling and the wreaths on the storefronts. I think that'd be very nice. Like, some people might think fighting for this cause of a 9-story building is silly. But I think you got to preserve those small towns. We have our big buildings. Hoggle, our dog is trying to... Get here. Scoot. Our dog's trying to scratch
out. Commercial break.
A commercial break for me to hit the garbage can on the dog. No, I think there's people in the smaller towns. And yes, it is a part of Hamilton, but they're trying to preserve that small town mentality.
Yeah, I get that. Like, where my parents are from, Mount Pleasant, there was a petition for, I don't know, I think it was for like the dump, which makes sense. So that's not really preserving small town mentality, but
that's stopping the place smelling like shit.
Yeah, and then like I think the scrapyard beside my parents' house, they were trying to make it into some sort of like store or something, and they didn't want that either because they wanted there to be less traffic.
But that's the thing. Like, I think that's what we're always talking about is preservation, right? Like, I personally am trying to preserve certain values in my life, and I'm doing that by trying to declutter. You're trying to preserve those values by trying to maintain the clutter. We have people trying to preserve their lives in small towns. We have people trying to preserve themselves from scrapyards and dumps. And it seems like the shit, the other people's ideas are constantly imposing on us, are constantly making our lives not what we want them to be. Why do the big bulldozers get to build the 9-story lofts above our heads? When we don't want that.
No. Well, I think that's constantly happening in our jobs, and even sometimes if you have, like, a bad circle of friends, hopefully your friends are better than that, they're constantly opposing their ideas and their thoughts on us.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, you have that alpha friend, and they're imposing a certain value. And I think it often comes to, I think everything breaks down to what you are giving authority to or what you're abiding to. I think a lot of it breaks down into authority.
Mm-hmm.
People try to take, and then this is the thing, like, you have a situation like this in the city where the city says they can build 9 stories, even though the certain bylaws say 5.
Okay.
Well, they're using the authority of the city to try to get away with the 9 stories.
Yeah.
And the people on the ground, they don't have any authority trying to sign these petitions, but they have leaders. They have leadership, and that kind of leadership is an authority on itself. But the thing about beautiful leadership is it separates itself from authority, because leadership doesn't need to have the control. It just needs to guide and be there for the direction of its people. It's so funny. It's just a town over, but I feel like there's a revolution going on over there, and I hope there is. I don't know. Should we become activists? Should we get to Dundas and tear down the building?
I don't know. I don't really see the huge deal about having a 9-story condo.
Because it's the first one.
Yeah, I guess it'll grow, and then it'll become... But everything needs to grow, though, doesn't it?
I don't know. See, I think that's the problem. I don't think so. I don't think everything needs to grow. I think some things can be left alone.
Yeah.
Like, even you say you want to leave this apartment and go to a different place, but you got to remember, Linz, we are in an ant farm. That's all apartment buildings are, ant farms for people.
No, I know. And I don't really agree with living here, but because it's cheap rent, we do.
Because we're hobos.
Mm-hmm. Well, because we're actually being wise and trying to pay off our debt.
Yeah, I don't like it, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it at all. Shelly, she wanted us to talk about... okay, so you're always the one listening to the news. I'm always the one, you tell me the stories. But did you hear about the cheese smuggling thing that happened?
No.
Police officer in Canada... got caught smuggling cheese over the border. Okay. And the guy made $165,000 by smuggling and selling it to restaurants.
Whoa, that's a lot of money.
That's crazy.
Why, like, over the border to the States? Canada going into the States? Or from the States going to Canada?
It must be from the States to Canada. They must have cheaper cheese over there.
The States to Canada?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, I guess that their groceries and stuff, like, you could buy cheap groceries.
Is it bad that I'm internalizing this, too, though? Like, I constantly, Lindsay's my wife, right? I love her, and part of being married is that you kind of verbally explode on them all your insecurities and fears.
That's great, guys. It's great.
Yeah, it's really great. Yeah, she takes a drag of a cigarette. And the thing is like I'm internalizing this of my own personal motivation. Like, this guy was motivated enough to go smuggle $165,000 worth of cheese.
At what point in his life do you think he was, like, sitting there, like, do you think he was driving his car? Do you think he was on the toilet, in the shower? I'm gonna go shopping in the States. I'm gonna go get lots of cheese, and I'm gonna sell it to all these restaurants. This is a genius idea.
I like your voice for him. He almost sounds like a villain. I'm gonna get all this cheese, and I'm gonna smuggle it over the border, and then I'm gonna sell it to all the stupid people.
That's such, like, a random thought, though. Like, who has...
The idea that he's in the shower, like, just his head up against the shower underneath it, just like, you know, like a scene, like a cop just had a hard day.
He's like, yeah.
He's just like, what am I gonna do? I gotta put my kids through college. My wife, she's been drinking again.
Yeah, is there, like, a backstory?
There's gotta be a backstory to this guy.
He has, like, a wife with cancer.
This is his Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
This is what his Breaking Bad is. It's like everything's going horrible, and he finds that he has cancer, so his only option is obviously to smuggle cheese.
Yeah.
That is so funny. I like the idea of Bryan Cranston smuggling cheese. I could see that as an episode of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
That is so funny. This is actually an awesome episode. We're gonna go off on one thing, and I'm gonna go to more of your suggestions another time, because I gotta get to Emerson and go perform soon. But this has been a nice little episode with you, Linz. But I'm gonna get to one thing before we go, which is part of me, when I was withdrawing from drinking alcohol, was putting my time into playing online games.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen me take a lot of my time with Survivor and Big Brother, and I play these online and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's this guy, Reed. I've told you about Reed?
I don't know. You told me about a lot of them.
Okay. You'll remember Reed. Reed wants me to talk about Reed. Now, I have to set the scene.
He wants you to talk about him?
Reed wants me to talk about him.
That's almost like egotistical thing.
A lot of people. Vanessa wanted me to talk about her, too. Vanessa Barnier. A lot of people want me to talk about them. Hi, Vanessa. But, like, okay, so you go into these games. They're just on Facebook and Skype and stuff. But there's these little communities. They're called orgs, organized reality games. You keep calling them orgies because you think it's funny.
No, I call them dorks.
That's just... Okay, so she makes fun of what I do, people. And okay, so I play these online games. And they have these communities of people. And a lot of them are teenagers. It goes from people as old as me, 29, there's other people my age too, and it goes from 25, 19, as young as 13, I believe.
Oh, so, God. Are you talking to 13-year-olds?
There's a 13-year-old that I have talked to. Reed, I believe, is like 15, 16.
Do you remember back to when you were 13? Like, that's really...
Yeah, 13-year-olds are pieces of shit.
No, like, that's just, like, kind of disturbing that you're talking to 13-year-olds online.
No, okay. Well, when you say it like that, we're playing Survivor. People talk to 13-year-olds when they're playing Call of Duty.
Yeah.
It's the same.
That's why I'm not, like, hooked into reality, like, with all the that stuff.
But this is the gaming world.
Like, well, yeah, it is our reality now, so technically, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, he's talking to a 13-year-old. I'm talking to a 13-year-old about how to find a hidden immunity idol. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it's playing games.
I don't know. I think it's weird.
Of course, but that's the thing. The weird thing is not the... It's not the weird sexual connotation that you're putting on it. The weird thing...
No, I'm not putting a weird sexual...
No, you are. You're saying a grown man talking to a 13-year-old online is weird. That word weird comes with a sexual connotation.
No, it doesn't.
It does. To anyone that just listened to it and they heard older man talking to a 13-year-old online, that's what they heard. They heard something perverted.
That's wrong, friends.
Okay, but no. That's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. That's what we think about, right?
Yeah.
But what you don't think about, first of all, it's completely like, it's fine. There's nothing bad happening. But what is happening that I find very bizarre is now I have a peephole into that age bracket. I know peephole was a bad use of word there. No, I'm seeing a culture and a generation that I have nothing to do with. And I, like, these 15-year-olds are different than when I was a kid.
Yeah, I don't understand the language.
Like, yeah, they have the lingo, they talk all weird, but this guy, like, so one gets to read, like, in this community, it's like they're on Facebook and Facebook groups. When you're playing, other people in the community are in a thing called a viewing lounge where they see results of the game and they cheer for the people that they like in the game. But this guy, Reed,
he's... Is that your fan?
He's my stan, a stalker fan. He stands for me. And this guy loves me.
Yeah.
His Facebook profile picture is me. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's funny, people think, they're like, Cliff, is that weird? I'm like, no, Reed's actually like a... I think Reed's a cool kid, but it's so funny because I'll put a picture up on Facebook and then he'll just write my Lord and Savior. And like anyone else on my Facebook, like my regular work friends, must be like, what's happening? Why does Cliff have 50?
Formed a cult, guys.
why
is Ban him. Ben, burn his apartment down so there'll be no damn clutter.
I'm going to start a cult. That's why I got kicked off of my last Survivor game, because they said it was a cult leader. I think that's what this is all leading to, Linz. I don't know. These podcasts, stand-up, me not being a part of the church, me trying to figure out decluttered. Is it all coming down to I'm starting a cult?
What would your cult's name be?
My cult's name?
Yeah. What would you name it?
You're Cozy with Clifford Myers. And...
But shouldn't church be that? We should be cozy people, don't you think?
Should the church be cozy? The church should be, you know what? The church is too cozy. That would be my argument. The church is cozy. They have their potlucks and their Sunday brunches. The church has to get uncomfortable, actually.
No, that's a bad topic. I don't want to talk about
that. Yeah, you want to talk about church?
Let's go back to Reed.
It's just like those street fighters that get their hands put in oil, and then they dip it in glass, and dip it in barbed wire, and dip it in nails, and they're just like, let's talk about church. But we're not going to talk about church today. This has been a great episode.
This has been great. I enjoy talking with my husband.
He's that sounds forced.
He's hurting my arm right now.
No, the lens. What's that? I was not doing that. Why would you say that? He's hurting my arm. Babe, I was not. Ladies and gentlemen, I was not hurting her arm. And any 13-year-olds I talk to is completely amicable. My God, I feel like...
This is rated R, this podcast.
It's not rated R. This is
rated PG-13.
This is rated Clifford going to prison.
This is rated PG-13, so 13-year-olds are allowed to listen and are allowed to comment.
All right, but that's enough of you. Lindsay, thank you for being on the podcast. Guys, thanks for listening. You can send in your questions and comments to hello@cliffordmyers.ca or check out Clifford Myers on Twitter. It's @ClifordMyers. Lindsay, any final words for you?
You can check me out at 304.
Don't give them our address. You can check.
Or Durand Park.
You can check me out when Clifford's not home and I'm posing in the window.
Yeah, I'll just have my silhouette coming through the blind.
And just one leg with a golden fleece.
Why am I wearing a golden fleece?
I don't know, because you're beautiful and I love you.
No, you're so nice. Stop it.
Okay, that's the end of our episode. Thank you for listening to You're Cozy, and we'll be back. Tell me if you want Lindsay back on the podcast or if you never want her again.
I understand, but I will kill you if you say no. Do you understand, guys?
All right, check out SawFatherLawnCare.ca. Thank you for listening. We'll be back.